heart at Hillside is to create an experience where your faith is lifted and God can breathe life into your soul. Our hope is that today's sermon will encourage you, equip you, and empower you to live the life that God created for you. We're excited to open God's Word together and our faith to be strengthened. Welcome to Hillside.
We all care about money. We care about how much we spend, how much we save. We care about how much we make. And we most assuredly care about how much we don't make. But what if I told you that you're not the only one who cares about your money? God cares. In fact, God cares more about your money than you do.
All right, again, want to say good morning. Welcome those online again one more time. We're glad that you're here with us. And we are wrapping up our series, God Cares More, Byline, About Your Money Than You Do. We're wrapping up our series today, and I got just something for you to say to your neighbor. Tell them a little faith goes a long way. Come on, tell somebody near you, a little faith goes a long way. Today I'm going to be tying in, I'm going to give you some of the special ingredients in part one and part two. All right, we as a church, we believe in discipleship. We believe that God is looking to transform us into his likeness. You see it in the Gospels, and the great thing is anybody and everybody's a candidate for being a disciple of Jesus. You don't have to know this book inside out. In fact, many times, God sneak attacks you. You get invited. You just thought everything was going to be easy, but you just signed up to be discipled by God. And so what happens is he begins to tear what we call idols down in our life. And an idol is anything or anyone that sets itself in the place of God. And sometimes it can be really, really subtle. And one of the things we've realized is, especially in the area of money, sometimes, myself included, if we're not careful, we can begin to drift towards an idol. And what I said week one was, when we do that, we begin to take on an ownership mentality. An owner say, this is mine, I'll do with it as I want. I earned it. I got it. Stewards recognize, man, everything is a blessing from God, and I want to steward it wisely. For some of you, that's just a bomb to how you understand finances. But the reality is, as followers of Christ, we recognize everything is a gift from him. Our job, I know some days it doesn't feel like it, right? But our job, it's a blessing from him. If you're the boss, if you're the owner of the business, believe it or not, your employees are a blessing. I know they may not feel like it, but they're a blessing, you know? No matter where you are kind of in your sphere or arena of life, everything is a blessing. It can be stewarded, be used by God. And so we see ourselves as a church, we see ourselves as a vessel for God to flow through to the people around us. Week one, we talked about the heart. I said boldly, it's not a money issue, it's a heart issue. Y'all really love that. I've never heard you get so excited in a service before. Y'all were shouting me down. Some of you, I didn't even know you came to church with these, but you brought out towels and were waving them around and just like, wow. All right, maybe not. But in week two, we talked about the hand, that really the hand shows what's going on in the heart. So really how we spend our money, how we give our money, how we steward, it's a reflection of the inner being, what's going on the inside. Well, today I want to talk specifically about the harvest, and I want to talk about your harvest. I want to talk about your future. I want to tell you that your future is tied to faith when it comes to the kingdom of God. It's tied to faith, and what I mean by that, it's tied to trusting God and allowing him to have the whole realm of this arena of your life. It's not different than allowing God to have the whole arena of your marriage. I mean, I recommend that. Men, especially, I recommend yield your heart to God. Listen to your wife. I mean, open up that arena as well. God wants to speak. I've had moments, I mean, where God's given me distinct words, not for you, but for me in my marriage and how I can love, how I can serve. Finances is not any different. We want God. Parents, you know what I mean? You want God in that arena of your life. Like some of you, you want it to look nothing like how you were parented. You're going to need God's help. Amen? Dating relationships, what? Truth be told, you want to invite God into that arena. Well, today, I understand that what I'm about to share, for some of you, you are going to get this immediately. You understand that it has been a journey of faith. But for some of you, I'm going to stretch, I'm going to encourage, and I believe you'll land up being further equipped. I'm going to talk from a passage out of 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings 17, and remember, we're going to be looking at how faith operates. And I want to encourage you that if you want to be on the front lines in the kingdom of God, that you believe God has a purpose, that you believe he has a plan. You know, I'm trying to do that every Sunday. Let you know he's got a purpose. He's got a plan. You are on the front lines in the kingdom of God. If that is something you want in your life, it's going to take faith. It's going to take faith. Well, the cool thing, or not the cool thing, the nice thing about this story is somebody becomes a candidate who wasn't even on their radar. And they become a vessel used by God to sustain the voice of God to the people of Israel. The least likely candidate in this day and time becomes a vessel to lead to a harvest for the future. So we're going to read 1 Kings 17. It's a story of a prophet, a man of God named Elijah. And we're going to be looking at particularly verse 7 through 14. Follow along. It should be coming up on the screens with me. But the widow of Zarephath is the name of this story. Sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him. Go at once to Zarephath of Sidon and stay there. I have commanded a widow in that place to supply you with food. So he, again, Elijah, went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink? As she was going to get it, he called, and bring me, please, a piece of bread. As surely as the Lord your God lives, she replied, I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I'm gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son that we may eat it and die. Elijah said to her, don't be afraid. Go home. Do as you have said. But first, make a small cake of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me. And then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord gives rain on the land. She went away and did as Elijah had told her, so there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. For the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. I want to encourage you today. God gives us an invitation in Scripture. It's found primarily in the story of Abraham. It's the first time he's given the name Jehovah Jireh. Anytime you see a name of God, it's an invitation to trust God in that area. God provided what Abraham needed. Here's what's amazing about the story. We're going to spend most of our time looking at the widow, and we're going to pick up four things we can get from her. But you know, as you read the story and reread the story, which I encourage you to do this week, say, Lord, talk to me, guide me through this particular passage. How can my faith be increased? But notice the confidence and boldness. If we're not careful, we kind of interpret it as arrogance. Elijah's like, look, God's going to provide. Do as you've said, but go ahead, get me that pizza before you make it for your family. Like, it's kind of like, whoa, prophet of God, a little arrogant there. But I propose to you that Elijah knew something that this woman had not experienced herself before. Elijah's coming off of being fed by ravens. Elijah, in a time of famine, the culture, the entire experience of every person around him was lack, was less than. The cycles, if you will, the land had nothing to offer. But Elijah experienced plenty in the midst of a famine. Why? Because he recognized and looked to God as his source, not as his resource. Elijah couldn't care less. You know, we're probably not praying to God, Lord, will you send some ravens to drop off my Kroger click list? No, I mean, that's not how we operate. But Elijah was not bogged down in the details. Faith can be tripped up in the details. Amen? He knew his source was. He knew that God would provide everything we need. And at the beginning of this story, here's what we see. God spoke to Elijah, and here's what he said. Go at once and stay there. I've commanded a widow in that place to supply you with food. Elijah walked in a confidence. He walked in a trust. He walked in a level of intimacy with the Heavenly Father that you and I can have, by the way. And I boldly want to declare, let's be people who lean into that. Let's spend our days trusting God in such a way. But here's what we see. He walked into that situation fully aware. So here's what happened. When he's fully aware, fully confident that God spoke, it doesn't matter what the circumstances say. If I had heard that, in my natural mind, I would have walked to the town gate and been like, okay, where are the billionaires? Where are the millionaires? God, where's the 1%? Elijah didn't walk like that. He walked in step, if you will, with the Spirit, and he recognized, here's a widow gathering sticks. God mentioned that prior, and here's what I see. She doesn't know it yet, but she's about to be a vessel of God. God's not only going to bless me, he's not meeting my needs, he's going to meet her needs, and farther on in the story, he's going to do amazing things in her life. We can recognize, can I tell you, God invites us. Can we walk with that confidence? Can we walk with that level of trust? And I love seeing how this woman responds. And you wonder, what is God up to? You know, sometimes we read these stories, and what is he up to? And I believe one of the things that he is up to in our life, if we let him, he wants to fan into flame our faith. And sometimes we can live where the embers are just above dying. You know, sometimes we can be so comfortable, we just gonna slide into heaven by the seat of our pants. Can I tell you, God has more for you in this life. And he wants to lead you into all that he has for you. And this story, if you will let it, it will fan into flame some embers of faith in your life if you can receive it, which I know that you can. But I want you to go with me to, in your mind's eye, to this widow. Think with me for a moment. Don't move too quickly in this moment, but she's a widow. Widows have lost their husband. In this day and age, at this point in history, her husband would have definitely been the provider, the supplier, the source of life. And we don't know how long ago it happened. One could assume because of the very famine they were experiencing, she lost her spouse. And she is now gathering sticks. And here's where she's at. She's at the lowest of the low. She's on her final meal. Final meal. That's it. All there is. Final meal. And if you're like me, you're thinking, God, why didn't you come to her at the beginning of the famine? I don't know. But God's timing is perfect. Maybe she needed to reach such a place of desperation that her only option was to turn to faith. I don't know. But I know that it was a difficult, difficult moment when the man of God approached her. But you think about the sacrifice. You think about the difficulty. You think about the mind games. I don't know about you, but you can think about the mind games like, well, who is he? Why is he asking me for this? You know, the folly of it all. Like, what if this doesn't work? God, this is a little ridiculous. But what would her neighbors say? You're giving your final meal to this freak show? What? That's not even extravagant. That's ludicrous. That's ridiculous. Before God, even, you know, you can spiritualize it. You know, she's probably praying like, God, what would you really think? I mean, this isn't stewarding necessarily. Like I've done Dave Ramsey, God, this is not appropriate. Dave Ramsey's my out. Isn't he a great out? Sometimes don't you barter with God like, God, look, mint.com. God, I'm applying what you have said. And God's like, I don't care, man. God, step out, you know. She's thinking, why now? Why in this difficulty? Why not in flourishing or in the midst of plenty? What was God up to? Let me bring us back to part one. God's about the heart. God's about the heart. And in the midst of this story, can I tell you, for her, he was always about her heart. And he's about to show up and show off in the midst of a most difficult moment. And I want to share for a few moments some things I gained after rereading this and kind of praying through this passage this week. I want to boldly declare to you that your harvest, it's got to be rooted in your faith. And your faith must always be rooted in the right source. God as your source. You won't always be able to connect the dots. You won't always be able to fix the details. You won't always be able to work an algorithm to forecast and make the plan. But one thing you can do, and that is to trust God with every fiber of your being. He will not let your foot slip. Following her lead, I want to strengthen our faith. First, these are going to be simple to understand, but oh so testy to live out. First, I see she had a willingness. If you're taking notes, you can write that down. Just a willingness. Ask God this week. I encourage you, ask God in your quiet time this week. God, am I willing? Am I willing? 1 Kings 17:11. I love there's not much back and forth. Elijah comes up and he says, hey, will you give me some water? And her first response is yes. 1 Kings 17:11. It says this, as she was going to get it. She had her plan, had her agenda, had things mapped out. Can I tell you, listen, if you have never heard this in your faith walk, this is going to be the best news you've heard all day. God loves to interrupt your plans. Yeah. Come back next week. It's going to be good. But I'm telling you, God loves to interrupt your plans. She's gathering sticks. It's her final meal. If it's anything like me, man, when you step in the kitchen and begin preparing your food, that is the one time in my life I am not distracted. Fully focused. Don't ever interrupt the plans. My house can be burning down, but if bacon is on the grill, baby, it's got me. And I'm zoned in. But here she is. She's gathering sticks, getting a fire ready. And this man of God shows up, hey, can you give me some water? So interruption number one. But here's what we see. Her response, she's just willing. Can I tell you, you got to, in the kingdom of God, especially in the area of your finances, you just got to have a willingness. I can't preach that to you. I can't say, hey, take my willingness. No, it's your heart. It's your heart. I can't navigate it. Your spouse may try, but they can't navigate it either. You know, your friends may try. They can't navigate. It's between, many times, it's the secret place. It's between you and God. But I know what I see here is that she had a willingness. She had an availability. I want to encourage you, don't underestimate a willing heart in the kingdom of God. I remember very early on in our marriage, in Kelly and our marriage, in ministry, and she was working at a marketing firm, and we're doing our thing, you know, life together, learning each other's ways and all these things. And God comes along and he asked a big, are you willing moment? To which I think we both appropriately said no. like this far and no further. You ever play those games? No, I don't want to grow, God. No, you're done. We're done. See you later. Heaven, come and get me later. No, we don't live that way. But often initially, when God asks us to do something, sometimes there's a firm no. But he asked us. Remember this? He asked us. I remember where we were driving. When we lived in Florida, we had left our home. We were driving to Panama City. And I told Kelly, I said, this is going to sound crazy, babe, but I feel like the Lord asked us to pay this person's mortgage. And she just starts crying. And I'm like, I feel you, babe. I know it's not God. Amen. That's the devil. That is the devil. If I have ever seen the devil, you're right. You're right. You're right. And then she starts smiling. I was like, no, I've seen this before. Like when I proposed, the tears and then the joy. And in this moment, she said, yesterday, God asked me, could I give that away? And I said, well, you should have said no. But he asked us, would you be willing? And we went through the certain channels just to remain anonymous. But I oftentimes think there's been several moments, and I'm sure you've done the same thing in a different arena or in something like that. But do you ever wonder, what if I hadn't? What level of intimacy with God would I be missing out if I hadn't remained willing? What strengthening of the faith wouldn't have happened if I hadn't remained willing? Because I've noticed sometimes I am comfortable giving specific areas of my life for God. But God isn't about my comfort. He is about transforming me into the likeness of Christ. And isn't it remarkable about Jesus, his purity of heart, that in these moments where extravagance was poured out at his feet, you've got Judas in the background saying, well, I had a few ideas for this money. And Jesus says to Mary, this will be preached along with the gospel, your sacrifice. What did Mary have? A willing heart. What did Judas have? Well, we don't have to go there. You don't want none of Judas. But operating in a willing heart doesn't have to be something necessarily extravagant like that. God just often will test us, and here's the test. Do I really have your heart? Do I really have your heart? Because I've got something ahead. It is too big, too large, too extravagant for you to even imagine. But right now, the state of your heart can't receive this. So I'm going to throw a little test your way. I'm going to test you in this. I'm going to test you in this. And sometimes the financial, come on, the tithing, come on. You remember when you first started tithing? It was like, what? What? I'm going to go to another church where they just say, cheerful giving. Be happy about it. Great. Great, there's an area for that in our walk with God, but can I tell you, God's always wanting to grow. He's always wanting to lead us into holistic, to trust him totally. And this lady, she had a willingness. I know it's just a quick Old Testament story, but if you go there in your mind, it's ridiculous. And then she does the second step, which is she actually walked in obedience. She actually obeyed. 1 Kings 17:15, it says, she went away and did as Elijah had told her. She went away and did as Elijah had told her. Say the word did. Say it. 1, 2, 3. Did. That will change your discipleship forever. Not only in this area, any area. With a brother of Jesus, James, the half-brother, the leader of the church, he said, hey, don't be hearers. Don't just listen. Do the works. How does that happen? It happens through trust. It happens through faith. Can I tell you, you may have never heard this in your spiritual journey, but your faith is a substance. You can't see it, but it's more real than my very hands right here. Scripture calls it in Hebrews, it's the evidence, it's a substance of things unseen. And can I tell you, nothing draws the Father to our heart quicker than our faith. Every time, that's why we're not just being happy-go-lucky. Hey, take a moment, fill out your connection card, put a little prayer request, put that on. No, no, we know that that's a step of faith, that in Jesus' name, sickness is gone. that in Jesus' name, I don't know how, God, but you know I've got this need financially. Somehow you're drawn when I trust you. That's what faith can do. And here's this fragile, I imagine, fragile, lowly stationed lady on her last meal. And you know what? I bet, Bible doesn't say this, but I bet Elijah was like a little overweight. I bet that was another test. You know what I mean? I bet Elijah was like a little overweight, but he had a scraggly beard. I bet, you know, he's probably coming up licking his fingers from the ravens' food. God's making it like as hard as possible. And she's got a litany of reasons not to make his cake. But what does she do? She pushes through all that and says, God, I'm going to obey. Never has God asked me, the tithe, I'll just shoot straight. Kelly and I, we don't think about the tithe. It's not even a thing. We don't think about that. But there has never been a time that God has asked us to go above and beyond. Kelly, her heart's a lot purer. I've always had a little litany of reasons of why this was a bad idea, of why this may be foolish. No kidding, I was reading a book the other day, and it was talking about giving, it was talking about stretching your faith. And I'd read the book a couple times, if I'm correct, before. And this was the first time it caught me. It said, a grieving heart. And it was what happens to your heart if you're not careful after you've given something away. If you're not careful, faith doesn't come in, but a grieving heart did. And I was like, this guy's reading my mail. This is, you know. But we want to be a dimensional family where all of our hearts are at play. Kelly's just got the pure heart. I just bring the grieving. Babe, are we sure? You know, like, some of you first-time guests, like, you're not coming back next week, but I think you should. I preach on other things, too. It's good. No, I mean intentionally. Obedience is a key. It's got to be a key. If it's not obedience, there's not faith on the scene. It's only good intentions. And good intentions can cripple our walk with God. Some of you, let's just push pause on the series we're in. There's something God's asked you to do in your marriage, and you're just thinking, I'm not going to do that. Or you're thinking, that sounds good, and you haven't done a thing about it yet. That's called good intention. No, it's time to obey the word of God. Sometimes there may be a friendship. Friendship's getting a little too close. There needs to be a little more space. Sometimes, can I tell you, it's a test. And it's a test. Are you just walking by good intentions? Are you going to walk by faith? I'm going to trust God. That's what separates. And this lady, she could have said, you know, like I picture, I like to do this in stories. I would have been like, okay, Elijah, meet me at my house at 5. Then would have given them my parents' address. Somebody know what I'm saying? Like, man, you got it. I got you covered. Go ahead. Yeah, and they're showing up on the other end of town. I'd be like, good riddance. What is that? Well, that's something else. But good intentions are the thought. They're sometimes even the prayer. And they're good. But without faith and obedience, if you will, without obedience, there will be no fruit. There's a harvest over your life. Every arena of your life, you've got to be planting seed, planting seed, planting seed, planting seed. I think about, there's been several couples in our church, and not just couples, excuse me, individuals as well, who have gone through a discipleship small group we have called Freedom. And I'll tell you, it's been kind of fun the last two times. Freedom culminates in a conference overnight in Lexington, and so get some hotel rooms, stay in a hotel, you know, get out of Dodge, so to speak, and get with God in this amazing conference. Well, last couple times, people have approached me on the side, and they said, hey, one time somebody just said, hey, I want to cover everybody's conference fees. I'm like, you sure you want to do that? You know, like I said, I've got my reasons. So as a good pastor, I just kind of responsibly said, listen, you know, here's a litany of reasons. I'm kidding. I didn't do that. I said, okay, here's what I know. Their obedience leads to a harvest in their life. There was a time they weren't free, and now they freely give. There was a time they were bound by strongholds and fear and anxiety. And so now nothing gives them greater joy than to open a door that other people who may not be able to attend can be set free. I'm telling you, it's not just a cute statement. Your generosity, our generosity, your generosity changes people's lives. But how many of you know the mind is the battlefield? How many of you know you get that thrill? Oh, yeah, let's do this. And you talk with your spouse, and they're like, of course, I love you. This is what we need to do. And then when the worship music's not there, and when the cell phone decided that they can, suddenly your monthly budget, they just decide, let's just make up for a few years by multiplying your bill by 10 or something. I don't know, just some surprise pops up. What is happening in that moment? It's testing the heart. And this woman, despite all the tests, she obeyed. And I grow from hearing this story. I'm telling you, it just began to permeate, not only in the area of finance, just began to permeate some areas of my soul, and especially point number one, that willingness, because guess what? As you get older, you get smarter. Amen. That was the wrong person who said that, because I wanted to be, not all of us, but they already amen me. No, I'm teasing. As we grow, we become smarter. Sometimes we can outsmart faith. We can outsmart faith. But willingness always brings us back. The ridiculousness of this story always brings me back. Patience is the third. I added this step. Sometimes there are moments in life where we trust God in faith, where we step into a greater level of discipleship, and we do some things by faith and in faith. And I'll be honest, there's been a couple times. Kelly's way more patient than me. Y'all know this, my wife. But there's been times we've done something, and I not only wanted, I kind of needed God to come through immediately, like in my timing. And then, I don't know about you, but I add these layers of how precisely I want him to come through. And in the area of relationship with him, he always, always has something better in store for your life. Always, always. And he asks, will you be patient? Will you trust me? Can we walk this journey together by faith? I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. But I am going to stretch your faith. I want you to be ready to inherit the kingdom of God. And so we see like this lady's story. I love it. Just for her, there was a timing for her. Can you imagine, just that last bit of oil, that last bread, and she's putting it together, and she's looking around, and she's probably sweating some bullets and just kind of getting anxious. And, she bakes it, and, there's Elijah, licking his fingers from his last meal, and he's just eating like he doesn't have a care in the world because he doesn't have a care in the world. Because God said it, he's believing it. But the tension for her is real. The pain, the difficulty for her is real. She bakes the cake. Then they probably went to bed. Her and her son woke up, and they went down to the kitchen just to check, right? Maybe she went down at 11 p.m. Let's just see. Nothing there. Gets up at 3. Nothing there. But when the time was right for breakfast, the flour and the oil were ready. Because of her patience, she reaped the harvest of God. This third part, patience, is the hardest part. It's the hardest part. Some of you came today, you need to hear the patience part. You're like, it sure did take you a while. But I got there, didn't I? Patience. Don't have a grieving heart. Don't let your heart grow weary. Don't get weak. God's madly in love with you. He's going to make a way. He's going to provide. Salvation is knocking on their door. You're like, I don't think they're answering. They will answer. God's going to do something. But what he's doing in this in-between is he's drawing your faith up to another level. It's an increase. Listen, it's a little bit like video games. The whole power up, I'm terrible at video games, so it stops right about here with my examples. But the power up, the leveling up. In our journey of leveling up with God, it's not a level up with God, somehow we earned it. No, 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 no. It's our willingness, our obedience. Listen, it leads to a greater level of intimacy with God. I'll shoot straight with you. When we planted Hillside, my pastor and his wife didn't have a care in the world. They didn't think twice. He's one of our overseers. He didn't care at all. He looked everything over. He's great. I'm over here planting with Kelly, and Kelly will tell you, I didn't have a nail to my name, man. I had chewed everything off. Like, man, are people going to show up? People, can I preach? I don't know. I don't know. Maybe I could only preach in Florida. I don't know if I could preach in Indiana. I don't know these people, you know? And you just, can I tell you? It's growing. And here's what happens. In the areas of discipleship that God gives us, he grows our faith. He strengthens our faith. And here's this last thought, and it reaps a harvest in our life. 1 Kings 17:16. For the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. Some of you, can I just say that to your heart? You've not run dry. Your faith, I know it's taken everything you can take, but you still have it in Jesus' name. And God's going to take you into a season of growth, a season of strength, a season where you will see his harvest surrounding you, his favor surrounding you. But let the Apostle Paul encourage you, and I'll close with this verse, as he did to the church in Galatians in chapter 6, 7 through 10. He says, don't be deceived. God can't be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. What's Paul doing in that verse? He's encouraging their faith. Why is Paul encouraging their faith? Because he knows the temptation in that patience window. It can be hard. It can be tiring. It can be exhausting. But there's no shortcuts in the kingdom of God. If you want that strong faith that God has promised and destined for your life, start seeing your problems as possibilities, your obstacles and opportunities. Like, God, I don't know how you're going to do it, but you're about to show off because this is some crazy. But I know you are the God who provides the oil. I know you're the God who provides the flour. I know you're the God who, if you ask us to give it, I know that we will receive it. He's faithful to reap a harvest in our lives. Amen. I hope this was good. I hope it made sense for you. I hope your faith is lifted. I want to tell you, I just want to close with this. No matter where you are, new in the kingdom of God, some of you brand new in the kingdom of God, you need to know one thing about God's nature. A little faith goes a long way in the kingdom of God. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to have all the answers. You don't have to have even come in here today with your life cleaned up to start relationship with God. He meets us where we are. Jesus, in his life, by some of our standards, if we're not careful, we start looking at the disciples he chose and start second-guessing him. Jesus knew exactly who he called. He called the broken. He called the weak. He called the messed up. He also called the wealthy. He also called, you think of him, you can name him. Why? Because God is not as much enthused about the outside. He's always looking at the heart. If your heart is willing, God will take you from where you are right now into a life-giving, growing relationship with Him. But He needs your willingness. He needs your obedience. He needs your patience. But I promise you, it will reap a harvest in your life. Let me pray, and we'll close our time together. Father, again, we say thank you for your good news that Jesus saves, that, Lord, you are the one who forgives all of our sins. Come on, just with our eyes closed and our head bowed, if you need to call upon Jesus, just do that. Repeat this after me. God, I need you. I need to be saved. I need to be set free. I need to be forgiven. Lord, I am lost, and I've been found by your love. I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I give you my life. And I trust, Lord, right now, as you come into my heart, that I'm born again by the blood of Jesus. Thank you, God. I give you my past, I give you my present, and I trust you with my future. Lord, I get all of you, and you have all of me. In Jesus' name, amen.